The Avengers Follow the White Rabbit is a podcast dedicated to practical politics. Practical politics is, of course, called practical politics because it is all non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is always rule-based politics. Every 2 years, every 4 years, it's basically what you do at the voting booth. And then there is full-spectrum practical politics, or engaging and taking down an opponent by any means necessary, using the rules but never breaking the rules. But to do anything, we have to start with practical politics, and in this case, it's the art of staying on message. It's having a consistent message. And our consistent message is a mantra, or white rabbit genocide you see on this front page. And we will also, in this podcast, engage in the geopolitical. We will talk about geopolitical events. We will talk about things from a unique white rabbit perspective. We will also go into white rabbit psychology and ecology and talk about everything you'd want to know about the indigenous white rabbits of Europe. And this is, again, the Horace the Avengers Follow the White Rabbit. Horace, how do we know something as simple as a consistent message works? Well, that's a good question, because we've never seen anything like something as silly as the word racism. Yeah, just yelling the word racist every time someone says something you dislike. We've never seen something that simple work decade in, decade out, and shove the biggest genocidal plan down our throats with just a simple word. We've never seen anything like that work. We've never seen anyone in Congress yell that and get their way. We've never seen anyone in modern Western society just yell racism and get their way. We've never seen anyone get something as silly as affirmative action just by yelling a word and getting their way. We've never really seen that work, have we? Yeah. We've never seen anyone yell racist, 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 and shove the biggest genocidal plan in the history of the world. White rabbit genocide. It's a huge plan. We've never seen anyone shove that down our throats with just yelling a word racist, have we? Yeah, words don't work. I wish you would have sent me this email 50 podcasts ago, because something that simple could never work. We've never seen anything that simple work, have we? How does it work? It works by repetition, obviously. Common sense would dictate. Horace, we've never seen anything so simple and obvious work. I get that all the time. It's kind of funny. I hate to point out the obvious, but there's a group in Hollywood called the Little Jew Rabbits. Maybe you heard of them. They're the spear tip of the pink rabbits is the Jew Rabbits. They're in our face all the time. And they've had unreal media control, decade in, decade out, in America, out of Hollywood. They've had unreal media control in regards to newspaper. And what do they do when you question their media control? Well, they yell anti-Semite. A simple word. A simple phrase. You're an anti-Semite. They've done this decade in, decade out. We've never seen anyone do something so simple and have it work, have we? No. No. We're an alternative universe, and I'm just imagining this. That's all they do. They put some money behind it, because it's kind of a little bit unnatural. But our words and phrases work the same way. They kind of undo that to some extent. It's funny. It's funny stuff. Words don't work. Of course they do. Commercials work. That's why they play them over and over again. Words and phrases work. That's why they play them over and over again. Horace, you don't have any money behind this stuff. Well, there's all kinds of money behind it. The white nationalist online media platform is the largest in the world outside of the alternative news and research. They just don't make any money from it vis-a-vis advertising yet. Stormfront, there's a tremendous amount of money behind Stormfront. There's decade and a half, ever since the internet came out, there's tons of money and time. There's different ways to look at resources. We don't have advertising on Fox News or talking heads on Fox News pushing our stuff. But we own the net, and then our stuff is all over the net, which is a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of resources, depending on how you look at it. Just to get the type of traffic of this website. You know, I'm piggybacking off all the white racial website successes. And that's a lot of time and resources. It just depends on how you look at it. So although you're not hearing enough, a lot of time, you hear something like this on Fox News, it's over with. You're done. Torchlight parades have just walked past you. But that is the funniest thing I get all the time. Words, simple words and phrases don't work. Right, sure. You've never heard anyone yell anti-Semite and just freeze the whole country and hold media control decade in, decade out. You've never heard anyone yell racist and shove the most genocidal, most outrageous and egregious plan down European children's throat. You've never seen anyone yell that day in, day out and have it work. Ah, words and phrases don't work, Horace. Sure it doesn't. That's too simple, Horace. Sure it is. It won't work, Horace, because the masses are asses. No, idiot, that's why it does work. Get with the program. Get on a consistent message, because that's all it takes. Now, if you're arguing about timing, well, there's something to be argued about that. You can go over this podcast. I talk about all these different things. But words and phrases work. They always will. We're creatures of light. We're creatures of sound. That's why good advertising works. Our stuff works a little bit better than our opponents because we don't try to fight nature. We're not backwards. We're not backwards, and we try not to irritate people. We try to go with the flow and just try to co-opt an energy flow. It's that simple. Yes, this won't work, Horace. I always get emails from former liberals or conservatives or something along those lines saying this type of consistent message could never work. I always think it's very funny. So now I got an MP3 that I should have done a long time ago that instead of replying to them, I can just hit them a link and they can listen for themselves. But in this particular podcast, I'm doing Q&As. I'm going to try to get caught up on some Q&As over this podcast and actually the next one as well. We're going into War by Deception. I'm going to answer all the questions on that. I'm doing a King Tut update. We're going to do a Hyksos update. Pretty interesting stuff. I'm going to talk about that. And I'm going to talk about the Anglo elites. I'm going to talk about Democrats, Republicans. And that type of a strange comings and goings in Anglosphere as we come into the end game, as the fog sets in the end game. There's been some interesting maneuvers by some groups. And we're going to talk about that. There's still a lot of unknowns, but we're going to try to put some pieces together. Because we got two groups. One group we know all about, Jew Rabbit Banksters and Leasters. Another group of pink rabbits where the shoe hasn't fallen, or the shoe's, I have a feeling the shoe's gonna fall, and that's the Pink Rabbit Elitesters, and they're an interesting group. You know, the Lindsey Grahams, the Jimmy Carters, the Senator John Edwards, that type, the Huckabees, the ones I had a big question mark on, the ones that if any of them were president now, I'd freak out, because they basically could pull off a communist dictatorship. Obama can't. He can't get away with that. But we're going to go into some stuff like this. I'm going to try to answer all those questions in this one. And let's get the show on the road. In this Horace the Avengers, I'm going to have to do question and answers, and I'm going to go over some stuff with you. I've got questions about the pink rabbits. I got questions about this and questions about that, which is okay. I do questions live, and I answer them in my own way. Most of this podcast can be easily understood because I break things down over quite a time period and feed you things bit by bit. But the pink rabbit thing tends to be confusing because the white nationalist sides just want me to name the Jews. The other people tend to be more amused with it. I have a cartoon coming out that I'm working on. And if the Jews go extinct, well, what will I name them then? And so I use the word pink rabbit. Pink rabbits are those rabbits that look like us but have no loyalty to us. And there's a hell of a lot of them in positions of power. And that's what I call them. And an individualistic society like Western civilization or European societies in whole are always going to have some problems with a little treason. Hopefully not like now. But that's why I call it that. I mean, there is some self-interest involved. But I also call it like that because it's easy to break down for you, these different groups. You know, you got the Jewish elites that are at the front of the pink rabbit. And, you know, you got your average, in the area I'm in now, there's a Christian charity, and this Christian charity is not run by Jews, it's run by Christians. This Christian charity is trying to bring in all kinds of non-European rabbits into America, and they've done it successfully. The Lutheran charities do it, they're a pain, but they're not Jews. And so, but they're all pink rabbits. You know, the Jew banksters and elitesters, the Rockefeller and Rothschilds, you know them very well, Anglo banking. They're most certainly pink rabbit banksters. The pink rabbit elitesters are a little bit different story. I can pin down their history and take it apart when you start categorizing the different groups. The ones I'm concerned with are the pink rabbit banksters, and the other ones I'm concerned with are the elitesters. I know a great deal about the pink rabbit banksters. We don't know all their elements, and we don't know all the elements of the elitesters at all. Why? They wage war by deception. Yeah, when someone wages war by deception, that's a hell of a statement. Especially if they're successful. It occurred to me that you guys don't really understand how to wage war by deception. I never explained that to you or what that really means. And why I, you know, I'm asked by the alternative news and research crowd, how certain am I that the Jewish elites are behind it? And I would say 110%. They're part of the process. They're part of the club. And then you're asked, you know, by the white nationalists, how certain am I that there's something probably behind them? Oh, about 110%. That there's more of this than meets the eye. In other words, it's not just eight foxy foxmen. There's a few other elements there. You don't get away with this type of agenda unless someone at the top of Anglosphere who is entirely, who's going to look, unless you got the Bill O'Reillys or things that look just like us. Part of your crew, you just don't get the run of the mill like they have in Europe over the past few hundred years unless certain elements of the royalty agree with you. Now there are many reasons for that. We've went into different reasons. I'm going to go into another shoe that fell, another shoe that dropped, or I'm going to add to a shoe that dropped. But it's not difficult to think about once you break it down. You know, everyone wants a simple explanation. It's just the Jews. That's a very simple explanation. Where it becomes complicated is defining them. At the same time, they're significant enough to be defined. You know, and the arguments on white nationalist boards over what they are and what they are not, whether or not to include them, are legend. But there are some shoes that have dropped on this, and that the one that comes to mind is one I'll get to in a minute. But waging war by deception is quite a statement. And what someone's telling you when they wage war by deception is, well, let's go over an example. Let's say that clever white nationalists, undercover lovers in Mexico, wanted to take down Mexico. They wanted to wage war by deception. And so Horace the Avenger comes in there and I create, I don't know, a Mexican ADL. Let's just give you an example. Let's do what the ADL does. It will create a Mexican ADL. And this Mexican ADL promotes everything non-Mexican. I promote Guatemalans. I promote Africans. And I want immigration in there. And I get them all running in there. And the Mexicans, of course, it creates a problem. It creates a great deal of instability in society. And, of course, I'm running my game there. My game's kind of backwards, but, you know, hey, I'm the Mexican Anti-Defamation League. And so Horace is in there doing this. At the same time Horace is doing this, another group comes up. The smart little white nationalists in Mexico also know what I'm doing, and we're in this together. We're running a game. The game is to implement a solution eventually. And so they form a group, Mexican nationalist group that they're going to lead against this evil ADL intruders and promoting Guatemalan rights and African and Mexico rights and all this nonsense that they run, right? And as we push forward that, it gets more and more resistance. We've created a problem. Well, this Mexican opposition group, let's call them the white nationalists, the undercover lover, headed by these undercover lovers, creates quite a name for themselves in opposing this agenda. And then at Flashpoint, I bring the place to Flashpoint. It breaks down, and they walk in, and they break spears. They break the Africans. They break the Guatemalans in half, because guess what? That's their enemy, right? And all the Mexicans say, well, these undercover lovers, these Mexican white nationalists are our heroes. You know, they destroyed our enemy, and this group destroyed our enemy, and so they're wonderful. They're great people. And they walk in, and they implement a solution then. This is the type of thing the Jew rabbis try to do, but they never break spears. Yeah, when they promoted all this stuff in America and Anglosphere, they've never broke spears. They didn't in the 80s go around promoting white nationalists. They didn't really develop that. They took over conservative, but they tried to make it anti-racist. Well, they didn't try, they did. They don't really wage war by deception. Over the past 100 years, what you've seen from the Jewish elites is they are no longer waging war by deception. They don't secretly own newspapers in Europe. They outright own them. They don't secretly fund revolutions like the French revolutions and try to keep it quiet. They outwardly fund communism. I mean, anyone listening to this, those that you don't know, vast majority of the Bolsheviks that overturned Russia, the ruling coalition, the 300-some, they're all communists. You can go to davidduke.com, you can just do a research. You know, the Bolsheviks were all Jews. Just do it. Google it. They're not hiding anything. They're no longer waging war by deception. At the same time, they've been moderately successful. So there's a kind of contradiction there. They don't break spears. They didn't take over form a white nationalist group in the 80s and then totally annihilate the Africans, totally annihilate the Mexicans, and then roll over another agenda like maybe this stuff that they're trying to do with Asia. They don't break spears. You see, as soon as someone sees you holding a spear, like sees you running the NAACP, which is the Jews were running at one time. Yeah, the Jews started that. They were running it all the way up until, I don't know the date. There was a date where the blacks took it over, but the Jews basically started and were running it. But when someone sees you run something like that, you should be breaking spears. You should let an opposition group, like a white nationalist group led by Jews or with Jews in it, come over and break that spear. If you're waging war by deception, the first rule is you never put yourself at spear point. You never have yourself out there in front of anything. And they try not to. But that's become a little impossible in the past 50 years. And in the last 20, it's become obvious. They're at spear point. They're at the spear point in the center of the planet into World War III. Now, if you're good at waging war by deception, you're never going to put yourself at spear point. If I were waging war by deception, I would come into Mexico. I would never put myself at spear point. I would have someone else at spear point. And as soon as someone knows the game's going, or as soon as someone's on to me, I would immediately have an opposing group come over and break those spears in half and let them implement a solution. There's a lot of different ways you can go with it, but they never run a complete game. And that's probably why they've been kicked out of every single country they've ever been in, with the exception of America. I'm serious about this. Those of you that are listening to this that don't believe that, those of you that aren't white nationalists, I got quite a many, they've been kicked out of every single country with the exception of America. If you're waging war by deception, you're getting kicked out of countries, you're not waging war by deceptions. But at the same time, they're very successful. They've been very successful in Anglosphere over the past 300 years. There's no denying it. Their bankers have been very successful. So who benefits from this? Well, that's where the elitists come in. And there's a big question mark about them. I have questions myself. The answers I get are way out there. Out there. I'm going to go out there again on this particular podcast, because I've been asked direct questions, and I go into this type of stuff. I'm the only racialist alive that goes into this type of stuff. Because all this stuff goes out there, but I don't know everything there is to know about elitists. It's very easy to give you simple explanations like it's just the Jews. In the end, you may be right. It may just be the Jews, but you got to define them. So simple explanations become easy, but once you start breaking it down in these groups and how I know damn well the elitists go back to Babylon. I'll bet my life on it. I know darn well that the agreement, the big question mark in Egypt is with the Hyksos. I know when they came into Rome. I know they had an agreement with the Pharisees who were running Talmudism. I know this. I just don't know who those Pharisees were, what they were up to, or what the difference is. And that becomes kind of difficult, because they look just like us. Most of us assume, very nice white rabbits assume, that, you know, you got John McCain, he looks just like us, he's all for us. We don't know anything about these people. You don't know that. What's interesting about the alternative news and research crowd is they're ready for them to peel off their mask and for them to be reptilian aliens underneath there, like on that show V. You may be right. But there's an agreement. I don't think that the Pink Rabbit Banksters and Elitesters are related. I don't think so at all, though there are some mixed marriages going on. There most certainly are. And there has been an Anglosphere over the past 300 years, but I don't think there's some lines that they keep divided permanently. I don't know everything there is to know about them, but I can pinprick their history. We'll put fingers on it, and as pieces come together, as pieces of the puzzle come together, we'll keep putting them together. But, you know, I can simplify things for you and just be another white nationalist show, but I'm not being fair about it because I know these groups. I know damn well that defining these groups, are that's where it becomes a little more interesting. And also, we have a lot of traders that aren't anything other than your local Protestant minister who's adopting Africans. Those are all pink rabbits in my book. So that's just part of this particular show. But a lot of people, especially white nationalists, have difficulty with that. I don't know why, because I've always went out on the end and defined it. But they want to know all about these elitesters. Well, guess what? It goes back to Babylon. It goes back to some pretty weird stuff. Some stuff that you just don't hear talked about on your TV, but yet they're starting to. They're starting to talk about some of this stuff. It goes back we'll go into those conversations again, but if you're waging war by deception and you're moderately successful, we would have to conclude, and you've been kicked out of all these countries, and you've been so successful, I would have to conclude that there might be something behind them. There might be something ready to break that spear. In other words, as the Jew rabbits are holding these spears, as all these spears go away, someone may be ready behind them to break them in half as well. And we know about the Jew rabbit banksters. The Jew rabbit banksters in World War II did not care about the Jews. No, they didn't. The rich Jews got out of Germany. They took trains out of Germany, and the rest got annihilated. This is a fact. So you might want to be careful with that, of thinking it's just the Jews, because right now, if I were to take out the Jew rabbits, if I were just to break them in half, and I were to break in half most non-whites, maybe the Africans and in America, I could pretty much open up and do whatever I want with the white nationalists. I could implement a solution, and it may not be the best for them. Imagine the morning you woke up and someone broke the Jew rabbits in half, and they broke the black rabbits in half, or the Mexicans, and whatever else non-white were in America. Or the Muslims in Europe, we broke them up, broke them in half. Well, what you perceive to be your enemy just went away. I just broke those spears. I'd look like a hero, right? But you got to be careful about this. The only thing you know is that you're across the whole top of the planet and you don't have a home and something has a whole lot of interest in you. Everything that does business with that something has a whole lot of interest in you. Interest in white rabbit genocide. And there are many ways to go about that. Yeah, they don't have to be too thick-headed about it. The Jew rabbits seem to be very thick-headed about this African stuff, African blended humanity with African. That doesn't mean that'll necessarily. It doesn't mean their leaders are all that thick-headed. I'm just putting some stuff out there, make you think about it. Because if you're saying someone's very successful and they wage war by deception, and everyone's looking at them, well, they're not waging war by deception anymore. If you say someone is waging war by deception and they're successful and they're putting themselves at spear point, which is a no-no, you should never ever do that. Well, then we got a problem. If someone's been as successful as the Jews and they don't have a New World Order, well, then it becomes a head scratcher, doesn't it? They don't have a New World Order right now. No, they don't. So there may be more shoes to drop here, a little bit more than meets the eyes. They're significant. There are those that say they're not significant. That's a lie. They're significant. In fact, I don't even take any white nationalist serious that doesn't talk about the Jews. You got to talk about them. I don't go out of my way to talk about them because incogman.net has them on, and Stormfronters and all these guys have, they talk about them all the time, which is fine. If a white rabbit is devoting a website to talking about all the crazy stuff you're doing to hurt us, well, it's because you're doing something crazy to hurt us, because they don't go out of their way to do that. It takes a lot to get us upset. But I break this group down. I do so for my own thinking. Because it goes in some interesting areas. And so that's the thing on the pink rabbits. Everyone wants simple explanations. And I'm sure in the end there would be. It's just a matter of defining that. And we'll go back over some stuff. But, right now our enemy's talking about, they had appointed someone at the UN to head over, alien visitors. Someone at the UN was appointed over to greet alien visitors and stuff like that. And there's all kinds of UFO sightings, more than normal. More than normal, making the news. Our enemy's in big, big trouble. Pink Rabbit, Team Pink Rabbit is in big, big trouble. I expect them to start peeling layers for us to get a hard look. But you need to understand that they wage war by deception. You need to understand that if you wage war by deception, the strategy should be you should break spears and draw your enemy in close, and as your enemy comes in close, then you can lay them wide open. Why? Because you got a spear in your face. You've had a spear in your face. I walk in and break that spear, I'm your buddy. Well, that's a strategy. You need to be aware of that. That means if your little buddy sees the Jew rabbits getting annihilated, they see the black rabbits getting annihilated, they see the Mexican rabbits getting annihilated, and here come the visitors. The UN, praise the visitors, all this and that. Don't go exactly running for the bright lights just yet. Just hold back a second here. Hold back a second here. We may not know our enemy fully. We know they have an interest in us. That's simple fact. But, you know, we're dealing with some contradictions here that have to be worked out. So that's my thing on that. yeah, the funny thing about a fake UFO invasion is once you go down that road, it's kind of like warfare. Once you let the genie out of the bottle, ain't no getting it back. You own the show. You own it whether you want to or not. Once you try to pull off knockoff alien invasions or something along that line, once you put that agenda, and that agenda has been on their table, once you put that on the table, once that becomes all go, there's no going back. You're not going back to a normal world after that. It's kind of like Iraq. Once you invade Iraq, there's no going back. I mean, the place is never going to be normal. So it's kind of interesting. Our enemy has had to sped up their timetable over the past 10 years, post-1998, especially post-2001. They've sped up their timetable, and I'm talking about lightning speed. All the elites are ready to go and everything else, and most of them are pretty bold about it. Generals keep their troops uninformed. Their generals are extremely nervous. They're extremely afraid. They've been pinned. They've been pinned 9 ways to Sunday. And I'll be doing a news report, and I'm going to point out this to you. Most of my listeners are very well aware of German soft power, and they're going to start seeing it flexing hard and flexing fast in a variety of different ways. Most of you understand that Moscow operates with and for German soft power, and most of you have seen Russia make legendary moves in regards to natural resources. I'll go over that in the news report, and that should be out at the same time this question and answer comes out. But if someone's waging war by deception, let's just keep our powder dry. And when it comes to our thinking, I want you to make you aware of that. There's some contradictions here that need to be worked out. There are those that say it's just the Jews. There are elements of Anglo-America that would love you to believe it's just the Jews. Well, I'd be lying to you to tell you that. That would be an outright lie, because I know damn well it's not just the Jews, although they're a big piece of it, the Abe Foxmans and whatnot. So let's just keep that in mind before we go running toward the bright lights, because they should be breaking spears. Now, as they open up this Pandora's box, as they open up, I expect the Green Goddess to come out, our Godzilla. It's all the crazy stuff we do, and you don't even know we're capable of doing it. She's our ethos. She's a great protector of the White Rabbit. I expect her to come out and start showing her cards, and she's starting to show them geopolitically. I'll hit that in the news broadcast, but as she shows her cards, I openly expect the Jew rabbits to get run over, and how it happens is going to tell me a whole lot. There's been a series of surprises in store for Team Pink Rabbit over the past 10 years, and I expect these surprises to come out in the open as they open up this Pandora's box of World War III, open in a way that everyone can observe them. But typically when you wage war by deception, you break spears. And how they break spears, and I assumed you guys knew all that, but apparently you didn't. That's okay, that's what I'll tell you, but we got a contradiction here that has to be worked out. Something doesn't make sense, because who you think of as the Jews are pretty much in a lot of trouble. Team Jew Rabbit is in desperate straits. And I'm going to go over some of the different news on the Neanderthal front. And then we're going to continue this Q&A, and it may go a little bit longer because I got a lot of questions to answer. I'll be back with you in a second. And now a word from our sponsor. Horace, I've been wearing my Undercover Lover t-shirt nonstop all summer. Haven't even took it off to wash. Well, you may want to take it off to wash, and you may want to put it away for the winter or wear it underneath your new Undercover Lover hoodie, because we've got the deal for you. You don't need to be walking around Norway and Germany with just a t-shirt on all winter. Unless, of course, you want to wear it over top of your snowmobile suit. Yes, you go get yourself an Undercover Lover hoodie. Zip up or pull over in multiple different colors. All for a very, very low starting price of $39.95. And it's just in time for Santa Claus. And it's just in time to support our servers. Right at Christmas time. So you hop on over there to WhiteRabbitRadio.net and you get yourself an Undercover Lover hoodie to go with your t-shirt. Yes. And now back to our regular programming. And so Team Pink Rabbit consists of a handful of different groups, but it's all made up of white rabbits that look like us that have no loyalty to us. The biggest group that you're going to know about is the Jew rabbits, especially the Jew rabbit leasters, and especially the bankster class. Their bankster class is particularly vicious, and they've been extremely successful over the past few hundred years. The leasters, there are a lot of those that believe that that they're all connected. And then I believe that that is correct, but you got to start defining the connection. It goes back to Babylon. And the connection between the what you think of as the Rothschild and Rockefellers with the Anglo-Elites probably happened, believe it or not, back in Egypt on some level. These are very long-term planning groups, and that's why they've been successful over the long run. But something has their number. What's came out on the Neanderthals is most interesting. We have all this research coming out on Neanderthal, and there's a reason for it. The Human Genome Project came out, and they didn't really talk a whole lot about it, other than saying we's all the same. But they just like a Human Genome Project, the Neanderthal Genome Project came out. And one of the German researchers, and this is just recently, by the way, on May 10th, 2010, one of the researchers, it was done by Svante Paabo, S-V-A-N-T-E-P-A-A-B-O. And one of them's German, one of the co-researchers on one of the new studies. They had something to do with the actual genome mapping and got an eyewitness view of it. And, in other words, this character that I'm going to talk about, Johann Kraus, who's German, of course. He got a heads up, and he gave everyone else a heads up on the Mid-German TV network. And there's always been speculation that Europeans are part Neanderthal, that Europeans have some Neanderthal genes. I never bought into that because my enemy in Hollywood will generally tell me what I need to know. My enemy in Hollywood says that the caveman was really cool. He was really wonderful. And so I know if he was cool and wonderful, he certainly couldn't be an Aryan ancestor, because if the caveman, if the Neanderthal was an Aryan ancestor, well, then he'd be a murderer in every film, and he would not be cool and wonderful dating the blonde girl on TV, like on the Geico caveman, right? So I assume there's something up. There are those that don't, but I do. But anyways, Johann Kraus let it be known on May 10th. That based on genetic testing, based on the genome project, that the Semites of the Middle East and the Middle Eastern Semitic populations were at least from 10 to 20% Neanderthal. And that's epic. The internet link was taken down. It was quoted again by, I want to say, someone at the BBC, but it was taken down, and this just happened this year. It's not that many months ago. And this was May 10th. And that is epic. That is epic news. There's a researcher named Michael Bradley who is far out there. I don't agree with a lot of stuff he says. He's kind of multiracial, multicultural. He brought out a book and it was published, apparently he is Jewish, and it was published by the Jews, saying that the European, basically his first book, speculated that the European aggressiveness comes from Neanderthal genes. Well, we're not all that aggressive, to be quite candid about it. But there is this little group of Jew rabbits, which are highly interrelated, highly related to each other, and they, to some extent, and they can be aggressive. At least their elites show these tendencies. And so he's become kind of scandalous, because really what they're doing is saying his theory of, that I went into before about the toxic syringe, I think he calls it, what I call the toxic rabbit zone, which the Neanderthal and Cro-Magnon may be formed a hybrid, that is not only possible, that is his theory on it is a probability, because we have genetic testing to back it up. Do I think the German Johann Kraus was lying? No. You're going to see Germans saying all kinds of different things on Ancient Aliens, across the board. They're on all these different platforms, German scientists all of a sudden now talking, which is good. He was not asked to recant it. It just went underneath the covers. And so one of the problems when you just think just the Jews, it doesn't open you up to certain possibilities or probabilities that there's something here you don't know. when you simplify things too much, when we don't know all the answers, we don't know the past accurately, well, things like that come out and level everything to the ground. I split everything up in pink rabbits, so I got these different zones of pink rabbits, and, you know, information's coming, information's going. Pieces of the puzzle come in, pieces of the puzzle leaves. But Johann Kraus, let that be known. What that would also mean is that there's a whole section, what we think of as Eastern European Jewry. That's the largest, big section of Jew rabbits. Well, he's always said that they are part Neanderthal, and that is the problem. And that became a huge event behind the scene, that this German researcher is saying that, and the speculation keeps whelming. You know, how much of humanity is Neanderthal? Well, 1 to 4%. But what they're not telling you is that 4% of nearly 7 billion people is all in one part of the world. And it was all, came out of the Caucasus Mountains and this area, where we think of as a Khazarian, up until, on the edge of Eastern Europe, all this stuff going on over there, way back when, about this toxic rabbit zone that brought out this Neanderthal hybrid. It was a wonderful theory, but when science starts backing it up, it becomes a head-scratcher. So you got an infection here, a toxic rabbit zone. And this has become kind of controversial with Johann Kraus, but Bradley has another theory. And I'm just interested in whether or not he's right. I'm not interested in his multicultural, multiracial nonsense. I'm not interested in anything other than hard science and what hard science backs up. And genome testing, and I got to believe that the Johann Kraus got it right, because none of you have ever heard it. I've got to believe that he nailed it simply because he wasn't forced to recant it. I've got to believe he's onto something with that. And then I got to believe Bradley's theory is somewhat plausible, that there's a hybrid. What's interesting is that they also brought out an article, this is New Scientist, First European Shunned Neanderthal Sex, talking about Cro-Magnons, that there's not a lot of Neanderthal inheritance in Cro-Magnon, if any at all. But there is a zone in Europe that contains some. And they've talked about some different things like this, alluding to it. It's interesting stuff. I don't know exactly the whole story, but this Neanderthal stuff and this that a group of rabbits are running around on this planet, whether it be the Semites or a section of Europe that's part Neanderthal, and they're all out of whack. Most hybrids are very unstable, to say the least. And, of course, I never thought in a million years something like that could be possible, but science rules. And so when defining things like Pink Rabbit, it allows me to be able to put something like that in, and it does work. His other theory that I'm very interested in is he talks about someone. He talks about someone my show, this show, and yours truly has been very interested in, and that is King Tutankhamun. You see, the Anglo-American elites promote this night and day, King Tutankhamun, especially the Jewish bankers. The banksters, especially the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, that whole entire thing, they have for the past few hundred years, especially in the last 100 years. King Tut, King Tut, King Tut. Well, King Tut's father is Akhenaten, and Akhenaten was married to his sister, and that became King Tut. Yeah, King Tut is not the byproduct of the beautiful Queen Nefertiti. He is not. He is from a line between Akhenaten and his sister. But it came out on Akhenaten that he was at worst part European, and at best maybe all European, based on genetic testing, the genetic code that they released on him. Again, you got German researchers there, and they're leaking stuff. The problem that I get is our enemy cannot be basing its New World Order on an Aryan. It doesn't make any sense to me. Something's wrong with this picture. When my enemy is promoting anyone white, they always end up cutting our throats. This is simply a fact, especially the Republicans. I don't walk, I run. It's much more honest to promote a mulatto, because that makes everything racial. You promote John McCain, and oh, no. That's been the story of America in the past 40 years. But, especially the past 40, 50 years. But they wage war by deception, right? So what's going on with Akhenaten? What is missing? What's the missing link in Akhenaten? And Mr. Bradley, for the past X many decades, this guy goes back a few decades saying this stuff, has had the explanation to the Hyksos. He said that the Hyksos came into Egypt, and the reason for their aggressiveness and the reason for all their traits was that they were a major component part Neanderthal. Now, Bradley, for his his belief is that the Semite population is not 10 to 20% part Neanderthal. He says it's upwards of 40%. And he said these Hyksos had to be a major quantity Neanderthal, although you wouldn't be able to tell by looking at them, but based on their actions that they were a major component, major part of them were Neanderthal, because they come from that toxic rabbit zone that he talks about. And he's had this theory, and it's an interesting theory, because now science says that this whole entire area in modern day is 10 to 20% Neanderthal. The Germans let it leak. So what was wrong with Akhenaten? Akhenaten's this, his DNA is supposedly European. It comes out that but he turns the place upside down. He immediately goes from polytheism to monotheism. He turns Egypt upside down. He acts like a Bolshevik. He starts promoting white women everywhere, which is kind of interesting because it's what they do. Of course, they don't do it legitimately. They have a dysfunctional ideals in mind. But he does all this crazy stuff in Egypt. Egypt existed for thousands and thousands of years a certain way. Akhenaten comes in and flips the place upside down overnight. What's wrong with him? What's going on? Well, Bradley has always had an explanation. His mother's Queen Ty, his mother was a Hyksos, and Akhenaten, what you're missing in the DNA, even on modern genetic testing, is they're not testing if he's a Neanderthal hybrid. That he was a Neanderthal hybrid, and that's his problem. That the Hyksos were a Neanderthal hybrid, and they were nuts. Which is interesting. Because our enemy's New World Order is based on this time period in Egypt. It's based on King Tut. They have a museum right now. I've talked about this. The whole entire museum that they're building at breakneck speed, they're moving into right now. It's all go for next year. And this is based on their New World Order. It has everything to do with the Pink Rabbit Banksters. Does it have everything to do with the Leedsters? I don't know. I don't think the Leedsters are part Neanderthal. I think there's something else, and that goes back to Babylon. But we're back in Egypt, and this is a big piece of the puzzle, because this group had an agreement, and that agreement, in my opinion, goes back to this priest class, this dominant priest class in the ominous priest class. They had that we know the Hyksos took over Egypt, basically by making a deal with certain elements of the priest class that approached them. Yeah, certain elements of the ominous priest class and the priest class in Egypt had epic power, made a deal with the Hyksos. And in making a deal with the Hyksos, brought the Hyksos back in there. And that's how the Hyksos had the reign of Egypt for so long. Some Egyptians were sold out by a crooked set of Egyptian priests. Which is interesting. Because Talmudism, we know, in the Roman Empire was run by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, especially the Pharisees, a group of Pharisees, which of course are another priest class. Interesting stuff. But this is his theory, and that the problem with King Tut and the problem with Akhenaten that everyone's missing is that they were Neanderthal hybrids. That's why Akhenaten acted like a crazy Bolshevik Jews, because they have the same genes. They're Neanderthals, part Neanderthals. They're hybrids. They can't handle it. They act a certain way time and time again. You know, and he did all kinds of crazy stuff. And it's been unexplainable. How can a white man be that backwards? Because we generally don't turn the place upside down. At least we didn't for thousands and thousands of years. So what happened? And this is an interesting theory. This theory is possible? Well, it's probable now. Science makes it probable. I think it's fascinating. That the Pink Rabbit Banksters, Elitesters, or at least the Pink Rabbit Banksters, and a whole section of the Pink Rabbits outside the white traders, outside the normal European traders, are coming together as Neanderthal hybrids. I think it's an interesting theory, an interesting probability. With this, I'm expecting the Germans to spill the goods on more. But when you're looking at all these different areas, it makes you a little open to this. I can't believe that Zahi Hawass, the Egyptian researcher, has ties to Anglo elites under normal pretenses. What's his ties to elites? And others would say he's a Jew, but you have to define that. What can they test for consistently? Why are they testing for something statistically? Why are they apart genetically from the rest of the populations that they're around? Well, they inbreed. Okay, what are you inbreeding? There has to be a rational scientific and this is a rational scientific explanation, because there has to be one. There has to be something. You can't really tie Zahi Hawass just with money and fame. You can't tie these groups together with money and fame long term. That isn't going to go back. This stuff goes back a couple thousand, few thousand years. There has to be something else that we're missing. And I always assumed it was something genetically, but at the same time, what could it be? Because obviously they're not a race. But then this hybrid stuff comes out. Then it comes out. This just recently, the science backs it up. Interesting stuff. So that is an update. I believe that would be probable, that it's going to be something wild like that. And, of course, it's always been assumed that Akhenaten was an alien because he's so upside down. Well, And for all I know, maybe it is as simple as that explanation as well. He's a Neanderthal hybrid bred by an alien god or something. I don't know. Some alien, a little gray alien. I don't know. But this Neanderthal explanation has some science behind it now because of the Semitic populations in the Middle East. Now it was really 10-20% Neanderthal, so it was never disputed. By the ones that would know. The Germans, this Johann Krauss would know. He would know because they were sitting over the genome project for Neanderthal, which was just completed. So his theory, Bradley's theory on the Hyksos, may be valid. It may be the missing link. I just can't believe our enemy would base their New World Order on some Aryan-like King Tut, or King Tut, some sick little white kid who ruled Egypt, who was inconsequential in the history of Egypt. What's his? What are the big deal? The only big deal with Akhenaten is he turned the place upside down, destroyed a lot of it, and got his name etched out of. They etched his name out of Egyptian history. They hated him so much. King Tut. The only big deal about him is they found all his stuff. Well. There has to be a rational explanation for them promoting him, because our enemy promotes this stuff night and day. They promoted him as part African, they promote him as this, they promote him as that, but they always lie about everything. You know, they wage war by deception, that whole entire side. So, I believe that is a go for the Pink Rabbit Banksters. There's something here with Neanderthal, something up, something in that direction. I think shoes are dropping on that end. As far as the Elisters, I don't know. I don't know. The alternative news and research crowd has a much better explanation than I do. They at least have a rational explanation. I just haven't seen enough to back it up. I haven't seen anything to dispute it, though. And we're going to go into that next, and I'm going to answer some questions about that. Right now in America, we had just had a big election. And the Republicans had one of the biggest wins they've had in, 70 years, 80 years, or something like that. Huge win. But you got Democrats, Republicans, and nothing will go anywhere, and you got AIPAC on top. And I've got a series of questions about this, about how to unseize this two-party system. That's simple. You talk about race. That's what this podcast is about. That would unseize the system. The system's seized up, and it'll be seized up until someone talks about race. You know, the thing's all just bogged down. And on top of them is AIPAC, and on top of AIPAC would be anything else they answer to, whatever that may be. Israel or otherwise, or, we talked about these two sides, the Pink Rabbit Banksters and Elitesters. There are many white nationals that just believe it's the Jews, it just believe your corner rabbi, just believes it's the Jews at the Frankfurt schools, and they're right, in a sense, that they are way out in front of it. But I have another half listeners that believe that's just a front group or a partial front group, and you can go back and forth on these things, but I know darn well the Jews have a lot of partners. And not everything about their history is known, and their partners are probably not going to stay hidden for long. No, but there's one thing that whole entire side has going against them, is they're all pro-white genocide. They can never be pro-white. They all are anti-white. Carter will never be pro-white. He'll always be pro-white genocide. He is our enemy. He is not stupid. He's evil. The Bushes are not stupid. Many people think George W. Bush is stupid. No, he's evil. Yeah, these people aren't stupid at the top of Anglosphere, the ones that are all related to royalty. The Mike Huckabees. If Mike Huckabee was a president, I would be terrified. I was asked, all these people are evil. I talk about Senator John Edwards. I always call him James Edwards, and I apologize to James Edwards from the political cesspool, but it's Senator John Edwards. And he was the one that wrote the big Council of Foreign Relations review on Russia, like a 50-page report on Russia and racism in Russia, and that's when Brzezinski were talking about setting up neo-Nazism in Russia to create the problem. These people are evil. When you're dealing with Anglosphere, and I'm talking about America, UK, and Australia, you're dealing with the elite there. I'm not talking about the people, because the people are obviously good people. We're good little rabbits. But you're dealing with the elites. Jew and Gentile alike. The first ones that get your attention is obviously the place is basically Judeosphere. That's the first ones that get your attention. But there's some other things that are highly abnormal. And there's some other areas in Western civilization. We can talk about Belgium and some of the weird elites in Belgium. You can talk about the foul Germans and some foul Russians. But Anglosphere right now sticks out like a sore thumb. It sticks out like a sore thumb. There's some very, very odd things going on at the top. For instance, in the UK, it is legal now to keep a chimera alive beyond 14 days, and they're actually issuing patents for different chimeras, blending certain animals together, actual chimeras. Now, if you go to your average racialist website like Stormfront and you look at all the subject matters, no matter how wild they get, they're not going to dream up something like that. Even if you went to some of the dysfunctional liberal sites, they're not really going to dream up stuff like that. You'd have to go over to the transhumanism side. And I'm going to talk about that on the next Q&A, but this isn't normal stuff for white rabbits. You're dealing with very unnatural type behavior. Now, I don't know enough, believe it or not, about the Jews and chimeras. I don't know what they're doing in Israel. But this is mostly exclusively in Anglosphere. I don't know anywhere in Germany where they're doing it, although they could be. I don't know any in Russia where they're talking about it. In America, there would be a huge, huge storm of controversy if it came out that they had chimeras alive beyond 14 days. In Australia now it's legal. Chimeras alive beyond 10, or maybe it's 10 days or 14 days. And they're issuing patents on chimeras. And by the time they make something formal like that, they've been fooling around with it a long time. This isn't normal. I mean, some of your racialist websites might say, you know, these Mexicans are like cockroaches. I mean, they kind of are, kind of related, but they're not going to start crossing the two. You start doing that, you start pulling out that type of science and doing stuff like that, it's extremely unnatural. I don't know everything there is to know about white rabbits, but I know a little bit. I know we don't naturally do that. We're fascinated by purity. We're not all ethnocentric, but we are fascinated by purity. It's one of the contradictions. But we don't come to those, we don't naturally jump down that road. And something at the top of Anglosphere is going down that road, has went down that road. Is it Jewish? Probably, maybe. I'm sure they're involved on some level. They always are. Is it exclusively them? I hope so. I hope it's that simple. I have my gut feelings. My gut feelings are something's foul here, and something doesn't make sense. Usually it doesn't make sense for a reason. But when I see things like, I was asked about World War I or World War II, I see Democrats, Republicans. I see a situation where there are two sides and, you know, apex at the top. It's kind of a template. And beyond them, you got European royalty playing both sides. But let me answer the question at hand about the Democrats and Republicans. The only way you're going to unseize it is to talk about race. And that takes a great deal of courage to do it. It takes a great deal of courage to come out on a consistent message in something like Congress. Excuse me, there are people there that can do it, but they haven't yet for some reason. You could do it from either angle. The Republicans would be an obvious one because it would throw the neocons off really quickly. And many parts of the Democratic Party are just pure evil. But for some reason they're not. And I don't believe, I believe personally that there's elements of the Anglo-American elite that when it comes to pink rabbit elitesters, the only thing I know about them is they can never be pro-white. I don't know why. I don't have a rational explanation, but that's from people. People I trust, they can never be pro-white, ever. So you're never going to hear a Jimmy Carter be pro-white, ever. You can't do it. It's like divine law or something. It's something totally out there. And another weird thing about Anglosphere is they are all into little Africans. I don't know what it is about Africa, but they love little Africans. Every single poster, I'm looking at a poster right now from James Edwards of the Political Cesspool, the Mouth of the South, Rebel with a Yell, and I'm looking at his blog. It's attached to my in front of my website, and it has a support the troops, safe sex. this thing from, it says still support the troops. It's an official Navy poster for a safe sex campaign. You'll see a black guy and a blonde. They always do this stuff. And this is not exclusive to Anglosphere anymore. They promote this all over the West, but it started in Anglosphere, and I used to assume it was just the Jews. I really did. I assume, and they're always at the forefront. They own the ad agencies. They own the newspapers that put this out. They own the Hollywood movies where they put this out. But there are other elements there that I ask questions about as well. You always see European elements of European royalty, especially the Anglo elements over in Africa, take care of the Africans. You always see the Jimmy Carters helping out the Africans. You always see, even the Bushes. Everything related to the Queen of England. You always see stuff like that. They're just look harder. It's like, they love them to death for some reason or another. I don't know that the Jewish elites love the Africans to death for some reason, but they're part of their New World Order, supposedly. But I don't profess to know everything about them, except there's something extremely, odd and extremely abnormal. Going into World War II, you have the Germans and you have the Russians, you have communism and you have Nazism. Many people believe that by looking at this website that I would like some Nazism. I don't like any ism, because I don't believe there's any ism that would ever work for my race long term. I'm interested in a couple of things the Nazis did. I like what they did with banking. They got rid of private central banking. I've talked about this. It's significant. I like the fact that they were using they were tapping into another type of physics that was exclusively ours, and they did some other wild things. I'm going to go back into that in the next podcast. They did some outrageous things, or were trying to do it, and they've done something. Every month there's a new set of documents declassified from the U.S. government. I'm looking at a document now that's from J. Edgar Hoover's desk to an ambassador of a South America country about Hitler's whereabouts in Argentina that they knew for a fact. The first one I thought it was a gimmick. I thought it was an Elvis sighting. But once you see these month after month and they keep getting them declassified, they keep finding them and getting them declassified. Who's doing it? Different historical societies. But I don't have to see these for too many months in a row, too many years in a row, and now it's been a few years straight, to believe that he didn't die the way we think he died. They've done something. You might as well just write that down, take it to the bank. Yeah, someone in National Socialist Germany did something, and it has everything to do with our enemy, and someone found out all about us, which is good, because I want to know all about us. But in World War II, that's my fascination with Nazism. My fascination with Nazism ends at what they found out, because they had to do something. Because post-World War II, one thing becomes very clear. Someone tried to wipe us off the planet. It certainly was the Jews, but they're always trying to wipe someone off the planet. In their history, if you read their Old Testament, it's genocide right, left, and center. There's nothing new when it comes to genocide to them. There really isn't. If you read about the Bolsheviks, there's nothing new when it comes to genocide. The idea that something at the top of Anglosphere, that's where this stuff started, agreed with them on some level, some fundamental level agreed with them, or certainly hasn't said anything to the contrary. The Queen of England can come out tomorrow morning. She said, the Boer farmers, you need to stop the violent crimes against them. She could put the Africans in South Africa to shame with crime statistics, just blatant crime statistics about the Boer farmer. She's responsible for that. Westminster is responsible. She could do that if she chose to do that. Maybe I'm in an alternative universe, but I never heard these people do that, and they have a great deal of power. She could do anything she chose to do. I've never really seen it. This lady's, she's been around since World War II. She served in World War II in London. A lot of people think I don't like the royals or something like that. I'm just suspicious of them. You've been around that long. You're presiding over the largest, the wealthiest set of royals on the planet. All the Masonic fraternities, yes, all the Masonic fraternities answer to Her Majesty. You got the largest attempt at genocide ever. Children she's supposed to represent as a royal, the head of European royalty, but she's never said a word, and supposedly she's just a Shabazz Goy or something. I don't know about that. I used to think such fanciful things, and then I got laughed out of the room by some people I respect. Yeah, sooner or later you grow up and you learn that there's another shoe going to drop here. Yeah, there's something wrong with the top of this picture. I don't know what it is, and I don't know how crazy it'll go out there. I know what they say they're related to. And I'll go on that in another podcast. I'll answer those questions in the next podcast. But when it comes to World War II, when it comes to Anglo elite, you got two sides. You got one side there's two sides. There's one side that's, let's say, the more Aryan side, the Bushes. The Bushes are supporting Nazism. You have the blatant Jewish side that are all over communism. So you have two wars going on. You have communism and Nazism in Europe. The Anglo elite, many of the European, the more Aryan looking ones, the Bushes, and really like Nazism more so than communism. They especially came to some agreement over property. You know, Hitler decided to be more capitalistic after talking to the Anglo elite or whatever. Or maybe that's what he had agreed to for them to fund him. Or however the game went. I don't know what it went. Exactly how it went. You had European royalty, and European royalty seemed somewhat divided. It seemed like they liked Nazism more than communism, definitely. But by and large, they're pretty much spread out. You know, when it comes to the Anglo elite, or at least the ones in London, you know, they sent some sons and daughters to Nazis, to become Nazis, no doubt about it. And it seems like that their relatives in America did the same thing. You have some Americans like Henry Ford that sponsored Hitler from a long time back. They liked the Germans. They wanted to help out the Germans. I think he's doing it legitimately. What I'm saying is I think many of the other elements were just kind of covering their behinds. You know, they were just going one direction or the other. I don't really trust them. I was asked a direct question. Do I think the Bushes and some of these other these groups that have the appearance of being at the forefront of Nazism or what was going on in World War II, do I think they were just they were just covering both sides of the spectrum? Because on one side you got the little Jew rabbits they do business with, covering the communism, no holds barred, and you got the other side covering Nazism, basically. And there were Jews that covered Nazism too. Yeah, there were Jews on the Nazi side. Our enemy wages war by deception. That's what we know to be true. They wage war by deception. And, that is how you wage war by deception. You cover both sides. You know, the more Aryan looking ones would be on the Nazi side. The ones that are blatantly, some of the blatant, Jewish elements would be on the commie side. And there's going to be some in between. But, I'm highly suspicious of all this stuff, especially since post-World War II someone's tried to wipe us out. And, you know, they might be willing to, even like right now we got Glenn Beck, and Glenn Beck, he says some interesting things about economics. He says some interesting things about the Jews, and I'm sure he's going to be saying more stuff, as he talks about Soros. Soros is often identified, and you're not hearing this from me, but he's often identified as a lead point man for Rockefeller and Rothschild. When you get into that set, the Rockefeller-Rothschild Jew rabbit set, he's often their lead point man for something in America. Yeah, they're some of his big investors, and he's often considered, you're hearing that from me, he's often considered their point man. And so we got Glenn Beth pretty much tagging the point man of the Rockefeller-Rothschild set. Now, the Rockefeller-Rothschild set are definitely pink rabbit banksters, bar none. They go all the way back. They go back to Rome, the black nobility. And there are other elements behind them, too, attached to royalty in some way, shape, manner, or form. Like I said, into this first conflict, it wouldn't surprise me if the pink rabbit elites don't take out the pink rabbit banksters or something. Who knows? But Beck is pretty much pining in at Soros. He's pretty much pining in at Soros, and he sounds almost, the ADL has said he's borderline or being anti-Semitic. Now, Glenn Beck would never in a million years say anything about black rabbits. He's not going to talk about race. Yeah, I mean, he talks about the founding fathers were really Africans, African lovers. I mean, he's nuts. He's nuts when it comes to race, but he can make some overtures. When it comes to economics, he can do some interesting things. When he's talking about progressives, he's, very articulate and sounds very interesting. But when it comes, to race, you know, he's all about loving the black rabbits. It's typical Anglo type thing. And when it comes to the Jews, it looks like he's gonna start laying into them. Or he definitely laid into Soros. And I know who he is. You know, Soros is the front man for Rockefeller and Rothschild. You want to do business with Rockefeller and Rothschild, you're most likely going to be doing business with Soros in America. Soros is all over the place when it comes to money, especially on the Democratic side and some neocon sides. Some of the neocons as well. But he's mostly on the quote-unquote liberal side. So I find this interesting. I find this interesting as we enter the fog of the endgame. I don't trust him. And I'm just being honest. Will you see someone as, okay, in World War II, if we had Jews on both sides in one spectrum, We would immediately think they were running some game. You know, if you have Jews that are not, if you have some little National Socialist group in France and the Jews want to join it, there may be some legitimate Jews that want to join it, that consider themselves European first. But by and large, you'd think they were setting you up. Well, I kind of started thinking that way about the whole entire top structure Anglosphere. Their actions, what they've done. The fact that, you know, let's put it to you this way. I mean, would they negotiate, as the U.S. political system seizes up? You see, let me explain it to you like this. As the U.S. political system seizes up, the only way to unseize it is to talk about what no one can talk about. And that's, in this case, it's race. It's pretty obvious. We got a consistent message. It would blow the doors off the thing. It could actually save elements of the Republic in some ways. In many ways, it could certainly save the population. You could do some interesting thing in America because it's got a lot of land. You could give people what you want. You could negotiate some things. Sure, you could. It may get a little dicey, but you could still do that. But when a system starts seizing up, and when someone's intentionally keeping it seized up, which is what they're doing, they know exactly what they're doing. It's very easy. It automatically creates a problem. Anytime a political system seizes up and they can't get anything done, it creates a problem. That problem ultimately always gets a reaction among the populace. They want to get something done. That reaction always gets one solution, especially among this group of elites, especially when it comes to some of the clever operators in Western civilization, Jew and Gentile alike. It always gets one solution. That solution is the dictator. That solution is a dictator. I've always said if Obama was John McCain or, God forbid, a Huckabee, I would be scared to death of a communist dictator, because your average white American, even many of your white, would never see it coming. Even some of the white racialists would never see it coming. That's where it would come from. Obama could never get away with it. He's just too blatant. He would have red state America marching up down the streets with their weapons if they tried it with Obama. But that is one thing that concerns me about the political structure in America. To unseize it, you got to be honest about race, and you got to get serious. To do that, you're certainly gonna hammer the Jews. There's another element there that won't let it go that route either, it seems like. And Glenn Beck is one such gentleman, or at least so far. At least so far. Sarah Palin's another one. But there's something wrong with the equation is what I've come to the conclusion on. Something's wrong. Something doesn't add up. And Jews play a big role in it. They definitely got partners. They're definitely partners. But I'm interested in their partners. But now that you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see the elements of Anglo-American League break the Jews wide open, including the Rothschild-Rockefeller set, for some particular reason. I mean, this would be the generation of vipers, is what they would be. The real deal. The ones that were really there. And not some little converts and not some little, not their little banking partners, but it wouldn't surprise me to see them break them over the barrel and then try something. But we'll wait and see. You know, some people say that's getting way too out, that George Bush and all these guys are okay, the Queen of England's okay. I think there's something up with them. That's my two cents. Of course, I could be wrong. They could all just be Shabazz Goys or traitors, and I'm sure there's plenty of both of those. But there's something highly unnatural in Western civilization. It's square in the top of Anglosphere. In America, I don't know what they're doing with chimeras, but that's not normal stuff. It's not normal to want to merge mammals and different animals together. It's not normal to want to patent that stuff. We don't do that. That's not our stuff. Now, maybe the Jew stuff, I don't know. But they're not all Jews into this stuff. That's what bothers me about it. I wish it were that simple. When it comes to World War II, I see a lot of, you know, there are two sides matching up. There's a lot of games being played. There's a lot of contradictions. That's why historical revisionism is so prevalent. When it comes down to the Democrats and Republicans, well, it is what it is. It's sort of like World War I and World War II. You got AIPAC at the top. I'm interested in what's beyond that. And one thing is for sure, you're dealing with the Anglo-American elite and the Anglosphere in general, and I don't know what's going on with them. I don't know what's wrong with them. I don't know. You know, we're in a situation here where German researchers are saying there's elements of the Middle East that they know for a genetic fact that are, you know, 20-30% still Neanderthal. Something like that I wouldn't think could exist. Who knows what else? We don't know. who knows what other surprises are in store. But I don't trust any of them until they come out on a consistent message. But I know Pink Rabbit Elitesters cannot be pro-white. They have to be against us for some reason. It's kind of odd. Maybe they're a cosmic enemy that we don't know about. But it is something to watch, especially as you got Glenn Beck totally pinning down Soros, who is the talking head of the Rothschild Rockefeller. And maybe Glenn Beck will turn around and come out and do the mantra. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe something else is going on here. We could always have missed something. We could always be finding out something new any time now. But when I see this group at the top of Anglosphere, even in World War II, the ones that were on the Nazi side, and I'm not talking about necessarily the Henry Ford, I'm talking about like the Bushes and stuff like that. When I see the other side, the Jewish side, I see someone waging war by deception. Obviously, Bolshevism was a lot worse for white rabbits than Nazism. Yeah, but I don't have any desire for Bolshevism. Obviously, that would be our death, or communism. That would be our death. They won't make the same mistake twice as far as leaving Russia white or anything like that. Yeah, believe me, just come to America. And you'll see they're not going to make that same mistake twice. On the other side of the equation, Nazism, I don't see as optimal either. But if you had to choose one or the other, there ain't much wiggle room. That's what I was saying. So I don't have an interest in anyism. But I'm interested in what the National Socialists found out, because someone there found out something. And it's something about my enemy, which is good. I've got more questions than answers about them, but the Jews we know about. Hopefully in this podcast, what it appears I've done is inspire some others to do some digging on their partners, and that's all we need to know about partners like the Teddy Kennedy. What's really going on with Teddy Kennedy? Shabazz Goy being blackmailed? Probably. I hope it's something that simple. I hope it doesn't go into any of these strange areas that the next podcast is going to go into, because that goes back to Babylon, and that's a big question mark I have. But when it comes to the Carters, the Becks, the Huckabee, something's wrong with the equation. I would like to believe they're just traitors, and I'm sure some of them are. I would like to believe some of them are just Shabazz Goy, some of them are. But some of them appear to have a different agenda. And that's just my two cents. When I see it, I don't see someone doing anything stupid. You know, George Bush is just stupid. No, he's evil. He's waging war by deception. If someone says there's some Christians, some Baptists, some this, and they're running a different game, they're waging war by deception. Huckabee is absolutely evil. Some of these people are absolutely evil. What's the big senator of South Carolina? Lindsey Graham. These people are evil. And they may have, there's more ways to get to a white rabbit than just some Jew version of a New World Order. So I'm interested in right after this war. I'm interested in how much they get surprised. And that's the exciting thing about the times we're in. We're going to find out everything, because there's something wrong with this equation. Even if you just look at the some of the scientific experiments, some of the stuff the Anglo-American elites are pushing, it isn't normal stuff. It's not normal. White rabbits in Australia are not walking around thinking of merging Pakistanis with cockroaches, even though maybe you could say they're related. You just don't think in those terms. Our race does not think in those terms. Jews, I don't know. I wouldn't put it past them, because they might be chimerical. Neanderthal mixed with Cro-Magnon, but we're dealing with something unnatural. So of course, most of the I have a whole segment of listeners that has a very good unnatural explanation for it. It just goes a little bit out there, and I'm not prepared to say that yet. But I'll talk about it some. I'll answer their questions in the next one. But when I see World War I and World War II, I see Democrats, Republicans, and AIPAC. I see the National Socialists breaking the mold when it comes to banking, which is what that war was over, banking. James Baker said himself the only differences they had with the Germans was banking. That should say something. He speaks for the Anglo-American elite. That's Jim Baker. That was it George Bush? George Bush's Secretary of State, Foreign Policy Advisor. But that goes into what is the differences between the Anglo elites and elements of the German. Well, the difference was banking. Well, banking's caused a big problem for my race for a long time, this banking stuff, and the Jews were certainly in on it. But he talked about banking being a big difference. You'd think he would have said Jews or anything else, but it wasn't. Of course, he's always been hard on Israel from time to time, but I get the impression that some elements will cut that side loose in the blink of an eye. Will pull Glenn Beck and just start pounding the Soroses. But he's not pounding just any Jew. No, he's scapegoating what is considered to be the Rockefeller Rothschild, one of their main spokesmen in the Americas, and I mean all the Americas. Yeah, South America, he owns tons of land in Patagonia and whatnot, right near the bushes and all that stuff like that. So I have questions. I have more questions than answers. But I think it's a relevant topic of conversation because I've never heard any of them say, you know what, I'm European and I'm sick of seeing I'm the Queen of England. Queen of England saying I'm the head of European royalty and I'm sick of seeing these European children in South Africa get, they're on genocide watch. What's up with that? She never talked about this type of thing public, and they are on genocide watch. I'm not making that up. I mean, it's not even a close call on some of this stuff. You got to stop letting some people slide just because you want to be loyal. You know, white rabbits are very, very loyal and law abiding. But I got more questions than answers. But that's my two cents on election. You know, you want to unseize an election, you got to talk about race. But they're not interested in unseizing an election. Some parties are interested in bringing a dictator to power. Obama's a no-go, which is interesting. What would they have planned next? Who could they bring in? And I don't see communism working unless you can get a Huckabee or something to fool white America, which is not difficult to do. Our race is very nice. We always think the better of people. Sarah Palin, who knows? Who knows how fast she'd lay us open? These people, all I know is they're evil. If you asked old Bob Whitaker about the Bushes, if George Bush is stupid or evil, he'll tell you evil. And evil can mean a lot of things, but one thing it always means they're bad for white rabbits. And I can't see anything in their background to say anything to the contrary. But that's our enemy. They wage war by deception. And of course, in something like World War II, if you got the one more Aryan side, well, you'd be on the Aryan side. If you got the more Jewish side, you'd be on the communist side. Communism, Nazis. Meanwhile, you're both answering the same side. You're both running the same game. You know, it's two sides of the spectrum, but one spying for the other, and whoever wins, wins. You know, you go with that route. Pretty interesting stuff. And, of course, in World War II, in reality, Russia lost millions upon millions of troops, and the Europeans lost millions and millions of millions of people. And it was all our race. And, of course, America, you had huge losses as well. Not as much as the Germans or the Russians, but, you know, we still went into that war. And the war, like World War I, was totally uncalled for. So I see it as quite a big game. You know, the Democrats and Republicans are... I guess they haven't cost us as many millions of lives yet, but in reality they have. When Washington does something like this, they go into a stalemate, or they don't talk about race, and they haven't talked about race in forever, other than something that's bad for our race. It costs white rabbits lives. Yes, it does. There's young people being hurt in America every day because of the stalemate of politics, and it's been like that for a long time, or because of the betrayal in Washington. And as far as they haven't killed millions yet, well, this ain't over with yet. This ain't over with yet. I don't know what they got cooking, but to bring a stalemate, is useful for the elites because it's easy to bring a dictator to power. It creates a problem. The problem gets a reaction. The reaction gets a solution always, and that's always a dictator. It doesn't matter if it's Hitler and the Weimar Republic. It doesn't matter whether it's some of the different. There's several different ways to bring a dictator to power. The easiest is to bring a democracy into a stalemate, into a situation where they can get nothing done, and then let people's natural instincts take over, and then move your dictator in place. And they got plenty of laws to do that. Now, how they would do it, I don't know. I was asked, do I think that the Pink Rabbit Leasters would get rid of the Jewish Leasters and try to go with Nazis or something like that? Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. I would suspect anything. Right now, if they're in the kind of trouble I think they're in, maybe. They'll cut deals. I mean, these guys went. If you look at all the guys that went to Russia to deal with Putin from Anglosphere, they're all blonde hair and blue eyes. They all look just like us. The one Jew, Kissinger, went over there. Maybe another Jew went over there, but by and large, they were all Anglo. I mean, they all looked just like us. And sooner or later, you got to ask some questions. What else is going on here? What else am I missing? But, you know, Democrats, Republicans, AIPAC. We know about AIPAC. I'm interested in what's beyond them. I'm interested in what their deal is with European royalty and that type of thing. And I hope it's a simple explanation. I hope it's nothing too crazy. But we're going to soon find out. But hopefully I answered all those questions about that. And now a word from our sponsors. Horace, what can I buy to become the life of the party besides the Undercover Lover t-shirt? That is a question we always get asked. Well, you can always get yourself an Undercover Lover or a Green Goddess or a White Rabbit Radio beer stein. Yes, they've been reported to magically fill up on their own. Yeah, parties are just reported to overflow with beer. It's amazing. Amazing product, all for the very low cost of $23.99. Yes. And if you have problems getting up in the morning, you can always get yourself a White Rabbit Radio, Green Goddess, or Undercover Lover coffee mug. It'll help you wake up faster. Yeah, this stuff is reported to work very, very well. And those are all for the low price of $15. And all the proceeds go to support our servers. So if you're having problems becoming the life of the party, get yourself a beer stein. You're having problems getting up in the morning, well, put yours truly in front of you. In front of you as you drink your morning coffee. And now back to our regular programming. In the end, as the fog of the end game sets in, I expect to see more interesting maneuvers. I'm especially interested in where the Anglo-American elite goes on this, on the Jewish question, see if they come out with it, see if they pound their little partners here. I'm interested to see if they break spears, and I mean break spears really hard, and what they have planned for World War III. I'm interested to see how this all goes down, the stuff with Russia. They arrested some big Russian, he actually just owns a cargo company. He's quite famous. Mr. Boot, or Victor Bout, or Boot, however you want to call him. I'm interested to see where this goes. I'm interested to see what kind of moves they play here in the last days. I'm interested to see how much more this consistent message keeps spreading around here. There's all kinds of different parties putting up their favorite sound bites on YouTube, but all kinds of different things like that. Whatever helps get the message out, keep doing what you're doing, because what you're doing is very effective, according to everyone we talk to. Everyone's very, very happy. So keep moving right along, and we'll see. But I have a feeling America is going to be ground zero for the end game. And a lot of parties that think this is going to be some walk in the park or some government going door to door arresting people are going to be very, very shocked at where this thing goes. That's my gut feeling. That's okay. We can all be a little shocked, right? My listeners should be more than prepared to be a little shocked. If you've heard this type of thing before, especially in the next podcast, some of the things we're going into, you won't be shocked if you happen to see something along those lines. You know, it shouldn't shock you too much. It's too much, at least. You know, it won't knock you on your tail for more than a few minutes where you go, okay, Horace talked about this stuff. Because I know it would have shocked me. These are crazy subject matters. But the ideal of being in Western civilization with someone actually trying to create a chimera, mixing animals, is kind of strange in itself. It isn't normal stuff. It's not normal. And you can look it up. They're actually doing this. And that's mostly in Anglosphere. And this type of thing bothers me because that's not normal behavior. And I've got listeners, a whole patch of listeners, the alternative news and research crowd, what I used to call the conspiracy rabbits. They have a solution for everything. They have our answers. And for all I know, they could be right. I've seen nothing to conclude that they were wrong, and I've seen nothing to conclude they were right. And this next question and answer will be up. I think it's going to be 55 and 56, and 56 is going to be White Rabbit Psychology and Ecology. I have a whole big thing done. And they'll be up shortly after this one, so check back in a few days. Both of those will be up at the same time. And the next Q&A will go into the wild side. I'm going to answer all those crazy questions. We're going to talk about feathered serpents. We're going to talk about some strange things, some of the white racialists dug up that was in Babylon. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to go into that. So all those emailing me about questions of Ea or Inki or Zeus and all that type of thing, I'm gonna give you a pretty easy perspective. I was asked, in fact, I'll give you a little overview right now. I was asked, is there any way to simplify this stuff? And I said, sure. Whatever's here would get killed, and whatever's coming here would kill it and then explain to us what happened. Yeah, it's very simple. I can explain the gods of Babylon and all this stuff really easily. It's that simple. Because whatever's here is evil, and whatever's coming here wouldn't be as evil, or will at least give us a heads up, or at least tell us what's going on. So that is simple. You don't have to worry about much more than that. Because you probably already know whatever's here would be evil. Whatever's here does not like us. No, it doesn't. But we'll go into that in the next one, and you'll have that in White Rabbit Psychology and Ecology. Those are all done, basically, that we just got to edit them and put them up. We're a little bit behind here. And thanks for your patience, and thanks for listening. We are now at the end of another episode of Horus the Avengers Follow the White Rabbit. And this podcast is, of course, all as always, dedicated to practical politics. But I'd like to take this time to thank you for tuning in to another episode. On behalf of the Indigenous White Rabbits of Europe, it is yours truly, Horus the Avenger, and I'll be back with you in another episode in the near future. Until then, thank you for listening.